you. Well, first, I just want to say thank you to Susan and Frank for just working really hard at VizArts, and you know, everything you see tonight was made possible through their hard work, and you know, also they worked really hard on this show. So this is a new body of work called A Trace Left by the Future, and it's all brand new work that I made in the past 6 months, as Susan mentioned, as part of the VizArts Fellowship. And so you're seeing a variety of different mediums, from prints to these wallpaper installations to video to sculpture. So even though it takes on all these different forms, it all sort of starts in the same process. It all starts using computer software. So I use a type of 3D modeling and animation software to produce all of the imagery that you see here, whether it's in the 3D printed sculptures, the video, or these prints here. And the imagery that you see is a sort of a combination of historical elements like historical architecture or Baroque ornamentation, and then also elements from a sort of modern consumer culture like electronic devices and surveillance cameras. And everything is very slick and colorful and inviting and soft looking. But then when you get up close, you start to see that there's some more maybe sinister elements or some more unsettling elements, like these surveillance cameras or these sort of spiky things that can hurt you. And so it's meant to sort of draw attention to some of the aspects of our sort of consumerism and materialist kind of culture and society. So there's like a sense of humor to it, but then there's also a seriousness to a lot of it. And you see the video, which is a 19-minute long computer animation. It's called Out of the Abyss, and the imagery is based off of the apocalypse. So imagery and symbolism associated with the apocalypse or the end of the world. And so there's like the four horsemen, there's like this seven-eyed lamb, there's a lot of other sort of elements that have been historically associated with the end of the world. But in my version of it, there's a lot of there's like Amazon, Alexa assistants, and there's like a lot of LaCroix. You see LaCroix up there as well too. And sort of other elements from our modern day consumer culture. And it's like kind of creating this, and with all the work, it's kind of creating like a new mythology, like this new story about where we're going and what the future brings for us. And it's a little unsettling, but it's also a little colorful and a little inviting at the same time. So it's sort of a commentary on sort of where we're going and with our society and towards in the future. I don't know. It's a kind of a brief overview. Just questions. I'm happy to answer questions or commentary or whatever.
What was the purpose of the video?
Well, I guess the purpose of the video is to draw attention or get you to think about our culture and how we're maybe obsessed with things and and what that does to our environment and maybe what that brings for us in the future. Sorry? Yeah, so I guess just like the whole purpose of this body of work, I think, is to present this show is titled A Trace Left by the Future. So, and some of these works are titled like Artifacts. And so it's kind of like this, you know, sort of uncovering of this world in a way, you know, but that comes from the future. So it's like these elements from, it's like you're uncovering these elements and you're not quite sure what society that these works or these monuments come from or this mythology comes from, but, you know, you sort of recognize it. Yeah. Well, the first, I had an uncle who was sort of an artist, and he gave me, when I was like five or something, he gave me an M.C. Escher book, and so it was like one of my most cherished possessions, and probably that was, and you know, somebody like Escher. Yeah, absolutely. And he was also very technical, right? He was a technical draftsman, and so I think when I started working with the computer, when I started working with this computer software, you know, I think it's always hard to balance that sort of technical aspect to making and then also the creative aspect of it. So.
Technical question?
So it's all created in a software called 3D Studio Max, which is like a kind of commercial grade. And, you know, so a lot the software I use is used to create like advertisements or it's used to like sell condos or and so I'm using that same software, but I'm also using that same like aesthetic, right? Everything's very glossy and shiny and seductive. And so instead of like trying to sell you a condo, it's like there's like this really weird stuff going on, and you know, it's very unsettling.
So in your video, there's a lot of logos, but a lot of them have been altered.
Right.
But LaCroix was.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if there was a specific reason.
Yeah.
Why.
Well, you know. Yeah. Well, different things in the. So right now you see like that's an Amazon Alexa. But instead of Amazon, it says Patmos. Patmos was the location of where the Book of Revelations vision took place. And so sometimes I distort the logos. It's like in a dream. A lot of this work is very dreamlike, where we have things that we recognize, and there's things that we know, but then they take on these different forms as they change slightly. So that's kind of what I was trying to go for with the video, to try and encapsulate that feeling. Yeah, well, I tried to bring in like this millennial pink, and the work is very millennial. It's like this we're just terrified of the future, and you know, everything's uncertain. And then there's also, yeah, I think the green kind of goes with the pink in a way. But I think also the colorfulness is a way to bring in, you know, it's about that drawing somebody into the work, and that seductiveness to it. So it's meant to be very like pop and candy colored. But then when you look closely, there's things that are more unsettling and weird. So it's like that balance is interesting to me.
Can you tell us a little bit about every sculpture, how they are made?
Yeah, so I use a process called 3D printing. And so I'm able to produce these forms virtually sculpt these forms first. And it's actually the same sort of software, the same process that's used to make the prints and the animations. But I'm able to use a process called 3D printing to bring them out physically. And so these works are 3D printed in a type of plastic, and then I prime them, and I sand them, and I paint them. And then the gold parts are also 3D printed. They're printed in wax, and they're cast in brass, and then they're gold plated. So they always, it's real gold plated, and so they always have that sheen. Various times. I wish I had more time in the residency. I would have made more, you know, but they take various from a couple weeks, you know, to produce, and then there's a lot of sanding, and then there's different processes to it.
What type of 3D printer did you use?
I used a service, so it's like a fabricating service that you send the file, yeah, like Shapeways, yeah, and then they mail you the parts, and then I assemble them. Yeah.
So I'm wondering when you're making them, are you thinking of specific functions that each thing serves, or are you trying to keep it?
Well, I guess like, you know, if you are like maybe uncovering, like an archaeologist, you're uncovering some of these, you know, ancient artifacts or something, you know, you don't know necessarily what they're for, or, you know, where they go. And so I like to keep things a little mysterious, you know.
But do you know what they are, or do you?
Well, they don't really have a purpose, I'd say. I mean, they're like, they're decorative, but then they're also, you know, and like especially with these works, like they have like an organic quality to them, even though they're made of like this hard material and they're referencing like this leather, like a synthetic or like some other synthetic surface. So I like that balance between like these very organic natural forms and then these sort of artificial plastic like forms as well. So. Yeah, sometimes, like you'll see in this, at the beginning, or you know, it's not on right now, but there's like a sort of a throne room scene in this piece, and you'll see a lot of this sort of tufted leather imagery in there, so there's like these visual relationships. And then the four horsemen had this like purple color, and you'll see that in the print in these purple sculpture over here. But, yeah.
I think it's really interesting, Jonathan, too, when I first heard about your work, you had done a residency in Italy at the foot of the quarry where Michelangelo got the marble to carve these, you know, masterpieces that we all traveled thousands of miles to go and see. And he sat at the foot of the quarry and finished a piece that was, he had sent a CAD file, I think,
right.
And they
you know, a laser cut it out of the marble. Nobody sat there with a chisel, but he did hand finish it at the end.
Right.
And I really love that about your work. And the form was similar to these sort of strange, like, organic growing, like, tufted couch-like furniture animal something. Yeah. And I loved that kind of image of you sitting at the foot, you know, sanding this odd thing,
right.
And this kind of reference to the context that it was made in is stirring. And,
right.
Yeah.
Well, that's what, you know, I mean, before this fellowship, I just was working out of my apartment, and I could, you know, I would make sculptures here and there, but I would always have to use some sort of facility or something. And so, you know, going upstairs, I was able to produce an experiment on, you know, with these small scale sculptures, which was really cool because I had that studio space for it. I experimented with, like, cutting out the wallpaper and, you know, testing out these different things. And so, you know, and that's also bringing in the color and the paint to the whole installation. So it was really nice to have a physical space to experiment with.